Welcome to Who's on First Watch, an actual play TTRPG podcast coming to you from Brisbane, Australia. This is our very, very, very first episode. Yay! My name is Richard, your host and GM for our games. We are playing with the Daggerheart system, and we are running a campaign called The Shattered Veil. So before we get any further, I'm just going to go clockwise around the table, introducing the awesome people and the team, starting with yourself, Harry. If you could tell us who you're playing and hand it off to your left.
Hey everyone, my name's Harrison. I'm going to be playing Kremlev the Assassin. I am a human and I have a bow and arrow.
My name is Sean and I'm playing Thalendi Werther, who is a wildborn minotaur juggernaut.
Hi, I'm Liv, and I play Kaya Velros, a half-human, half-elf Veilbinder Threadkeeper, which is our homebrewed class.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I play Phaedra, a wanderborn Inferni bard.
I'm Nathan. I'm playing Bjorn Eriksson, a Viking warrior.
All right. Thanks, everyone. So there's a couple of things we need to do before we dive in. As is with most podcasts, we have some announcements. Despite the fact this is our very first episode, we do have some people that have already leaned in and are helping us out to some degree, which we are incredibly grateful for. So, first of all, in no particular order of priority, Heart of Dagger. This is a website that, if you're listening to this podcast, assuming that you're interested in Daggerheart, we suggest you go and check it out because it is a website that is dedicated to Daggerheart homebrew content. So that's actual play, podcasts, rules, adversaries, all sorts of cool stuff that is being put up on there by other creators. The next shout out we have is going to Fantasy Plus. So Fantasy Plus is a soundscape app, web app, that we use for post to put in some of the cool sound effects and music for our podcast. So check them out as well. And finally, Crimson Brooks is a band that have also kindly let us use some of their tunes as well in our podcast. So that's it for the announcements. We are likely to scoot this to somewhere else on the podcast, but as it is our first one, it is important to note that the game you're about to hear uses the Daggerheart tabletop role-playing system, published by Darrington Press and Critical Role LLC. We play under the Darrington Press Community Gaming License. This is an unofficial fan production, not affiliated or endorsed by Darrington Press or Critical Role.
Yet.
We hope. We live in hope. Okay, without further ado, let's begin!
Yeah, let's do it!
The flame of war once burned bright across Amanaroth. Fierce, righteous, fed by fear, pride, and the hunger for dominion. But the fuel of that fire has since been spent. What remains now are embers, cold, choking, and cruel. 20 years have passed since the fall of Gormsley, the night when the coastal city was destroyed. It is said to have been the catalyst for the war. In the years that followed, the nations of Amanaroth tore each other apart. Armies clashed like hammer and anvil over ancient festering wounds, over power, over the right to command the arcane itself. Folk whispered of lost keys and broken seals, of portals that should have stayed shut, and of gods who have turned their faces away. Now, even though the banners of the great nations are rarely seen, the war still grinds on. Misinformation has replaced valor, subterfuge honor, survival has replaced everything else. Between the great Dosmorian mountains and the windswept plains of Thulshen, the borderlands have become a scar upon the world. Villages burned, fields stripped bare by armies that no longer remember why they fight. The people, the farmers, wanderers and forgotten, are tossed between warring fronts like leaves in a storm. Some flee south into the haunted forests of the Shi'od Alliance. Others head west through Thulshen, only to find cruelty waiting at every border. And now, winter approaches all too quickly, ready to bring cold winds, sleet, and snow. As the remaining weeks of autumn are chased from the land, survivors cling to what little warmth remained. Yet even in ruin, people endure. Among the scattered stones and ash of the borderlands, a small farmstead clings to life. Three small buildings stand in disrepair, a narrow stream cutting through a rocky soil between them, its water cold and clear. once nothing but a lonely homestead. Now it's something more, a haven for the lost, the broken, the hunted. It's the 313th day of the year 388. The morning fog rolls thick across the fields, and the air bites with the promise of coming frost. Here, at the edge of the world's madness, a handful of strangers will decide what kind of dawn, if any, will follow. Thalandi, you and your unlikely travel companion of the past few weeks, Bjorn, stumbled across the farmstead about 3 days ago. Upon your arrival, you found it already occupied by a dwarf with the look of a soldier, wearing worn chainmail cloak and boots, and a distant stare always in his eyes. A wiry, elderly human man with sunken eyes and pale grey skin, wearing nothing but rags, occasionally peeking out from one of the collapsed buildings. And finally, the halfling who introduced herself to you as Pera when you arrived. She has a nasty, jagged scar down the right side of her face that is interrupted by an eye patch over the right eye. She wears well-worn leather armour, yet another wanderer seeking shelter at the farmstead. Thalandi, you find yourself alone again for the first time in a while as you prepare for the day. Having discussed with Bjorn the night before, he set off early to circumnavigate the area further afield than the previous day, while you agreed to scout your way up the stream until your paths cross. Before you set off, you take a moment to breathe in the cool morning autumn air as you survey the farm. Can you please describe your character?
So you see me standing at the near the gates of the farmstead, and I'm stretching, I'm limbering myself up ready for the day. And I walk with a bit of a limp. I'm a hulking minotaur. I'm easily 7 feet tall, nearly as wide as I am tall. Red-brown fur and curved horns that lean forward. I've got a real bum's eye for clothes. I'm wearing old leathers and worn boots and a canvas shirt. But peeking out from that canvas shirt, you can see a terrible scar that's running down the left side of my body. It's probably what's giving me that limp. On my right side, my shoulder poking out the other side of the shirt, you can see ritual scarring that belies runes and circles and patterns that are probably arcane, but I'm certainly no arcanist. As I'm stretching, limbering up, I'm picking my path and trying to recognize the terrain and where I've been. I look back at the barn I've been sleeping in. It's ramshackle, it's weather-beaten. There's still a spot up top where the hay is maybe too dry, but still somewhere safe to sleep from the rain. I see something poking out from next to the fence, though. I stumble over there and I pull up some rectangular shape, and it says Peppermill House on the side. This must be the name of the farmstead. Anyways, look, I've got to get some wood. I've got to check the traps I've laid before. I'll start heading north, along the stream. See if I can find Bjorn.
You start making your way. Are you going to just... It's not very deep in parts, so are you going to traverse through the water or walk along the bank?
I'm really adept at the wilderness. I'm a survivalist by nature, so I'm really good at picking out the small trails, despite my size, and working my way along them. So I don't think I'd traipse my way through the water and make all that noise. I feel like, you know, I'd slip from shadow to shadow as best as I can with my size. And it's unusual that someone so big, with such an imposing presence, can still manage to move quietly and deftly in the wilderness.
You start making your way up the stream, away from the farmstead. Is there anything in particular that of the farmstead that has stood out in your mind about the past few days while you were there, or anything interesting of note that you might be considering or thinking about as you're making your way?
Look, the thing that catches my mind is how immediately abandoned it was, that it must have been a comfortable home for someone only recently. It's not as though dust covers every surface, but there's a hole in one of the walls of the house that I don't even know how that could be knocked into the house and what could have made that much damage. But, it's an old, sturdy building, and it manages to hold its weight. Some of the curtains have been torn, which is really odd, but the bed linens are still in the closets. Someone else has been here as well, though. It's been fleeced, you know. There's no foodstuffs, there's no comfort left behind, you know. Even the couches and things were upturned in part.
Yeah.
But it seems only recently.
So you're pondering that as you're making your way up the stream, and eventually, you come across one of your traps that you set. What do you find?
Well, I've been trying to catch rabbits, and a lot of them have come up short. You know, rabbit's good eating, and it's a nice, quiet little meal you can get, and there's lots of rabbits in this area. So I imagine that I found a rabbit, if it's been trapped, triggered appropriately. If not, then the snare has probably just been tripped and there's nothing there.
So fortunately, you do find a rabbit, be it a malnourished, skinny, pitiful-looking rabbit, which, you know, tends to be the nature of a lot of the animals around here at this time. It's caught its neck in the snare and easy enough to retrieve it.
All right.
Stick it on your belt. You're leaning over and extracting it from the snare. You're going to reset it or you're going to pick it up and...
Oh, yeah, I'll reset it.
Yeah, okay.
It's just a wire snare, I imagine.
Yeah, okay. So as you're bending over to pick it up, despite the fog, which is still hanging around in the morning, it kind of dampens the sound throughout this small valley. You hear what you think is the familiar sound of the clash of steel up ahead, up the stream.
That can't be right. That can't be right, that we're well away from the edge of the war, unless it's bandits. Where was Bjorn saying he was going to be again?
So you agreed that you were going to just make your way slowly up the stream. He left very early, do a wide circle around the farm to see what he could see and just see the lay of the land from a defensible position. And your idea was once he reached the stream, he would wait there for you.
I'm a bit nervous to call out because I don't want to invite danger and invite Lord knows what into the camp, such as it is. So I imagine I'm going to hustle forward, not quite running, but, you know, making a quick pace to get there until I can ascertain a bit more from the sounds I'm hearing. Is it just some bandits or is it something more?
Okay. So, yeah, you start quickening your pace and heading in that direction. You definitely hear the sound of what must be the ringing of steel on steel, the sounds of combat, if you will.
All right. Somebody's getting hurt. Like, I don't want to be the hero, but I don't want that person getting hurt to be Bjorn. Is it coming from the direction I'm expecting him to be in?
Yeah, it's coming from upstream.
All right, I better start really moving as fast as I can.
Okay, so you double time as you start pushing yourself. And just to make sure that you don't slip and fall and over these rocks and stuff, I'm going to get you to take a stress because you're concentrating on making sure that you're not going to slip.
Minotaurs can ignore stress on a 6, on a D6.
You ignore it? Keep us abreast of these things. Landy, you start pushing through the foliage. You're moving at quite a pace, so ducking under branches and heading in the direction. The fog itself has settled into the gully that the stream runs down. It splits in front of you as you're jogging through, but it's a little bit slow going because you have to watch your footing because of the fog. Branches whipping past you as you're running through the mist. And as you're heading up the stream, eventually you see through the mist a faint silhouette. Through the trees up ahead, must be some sort of a clearing. You can see the silhouette of a horse turning with a rider that's wheeling the horse around with a sword raised high.
Can I see who he's attacking or?
Not through where you are at the moment. So consider yourself at out of range.
Is he facing me or facing away?
Profile to you. Parallel, okay. If you like.
Okay, I'm going to try to veer my direction a little bit and run a bit towards where I think he's going to charge.
Okay.
So all if right. He's charging to my right, I'm going to turn to the right so I can sort of end where he would end.
You plot an intercept course and start thundering through the bush and over the rocks. It's actually quite rocky terrain. I'll get you to give me an agility check, please. First roll of the game.
On my negative one stat.
Hooray!
I got a 9 with fear.
You reposition yourself to intercept this rider. You slip.
I imagine it's not so much a slip as my scar like runs down on my hip, right?
Yeah.
Kind of moving. Like the scar hasn't quite limbered up yet this morning. And my limp is kind of thumping one leg a bit too much and probably making a bit too much noise. And
love it. So, yes, as you struggle to reposition and get moving, you see that this horse wheels the silhouette. And now that you've repositioned a little bit, you can see that the silhouette of another in the direction in which this horse is about to charge. And then it charges. Bjorn, you stand alone
in a churned field of bodies and ash. The smell of wet soil and blood is thick enough to taste. Your lungs burn with every breath, tears like old canvas. The Dosmorian rider wheels his black, malnourished horse around about 30 paces off. The beast is snorting steam into the cold air, its hooves chewing at the mud impatiently. You can see that the rider's armor is polished steel, streaked with red paint. Once proud, now flaked and dull with gore. You already felt his blade twice. Your shoulders split open, your side is slick with blood. Your Dane axe in your hands trembles with fatigue. One of your throwing axes lies just out of reach in the mud, the handle jutting up like it's mocking you. Around you, the carcass of a giant, face half in the dirt. The Inferni girl, unconscious beside him, just starting to stir. Mercenaries are strewn like broken dolls. The only sounds, the horse breathing hard, the groan of the rider's saddle leather, the ragged rasp of your own breath, thick and wet in your throat. Bjorn, can you please mark down 4 hit points?
Yes, that I've done.
Remove all but 1 armor point.
Yep.
And give yourself 4 points of stress. As the last moments.
Shit. Cling to life.
As the last moments begin to unfold. Can you please describe your appearance in this moment and what your armor looks like and how you're holding yourself?
So, you're not meeting it at my best. I've been in a hard-fought battle. Obviously a little bit worse for wear. I've managed to lose my helm in the fight somewhere, and a deep gash upon my scalp is sending blood sheeting down my side. I still have my axe in hand, ready to face this charge from this warrior. My armor, while normally well maintained, is obviously a bit disheveled now, missing a few scales. I'm limping a little as I've taken a hit on my hip at some point in the battle, and I'm steeling myself to face this charge. I don't intend to meet the shield father today, though.
The soldier lowers his longsword, and the edge gleams cold, and the world narrows to moments. You notice everything. The hiss of the horse's breath turning to steam in the chill air. The clink of the loose buckles at the man's thigh. The weight of your own heartbeat drumming in your ears like a slow war drum. The creak of your axe handle as you tighten your grip, knuckles split and white. A bead of sweat or blood crawls down your temple. The rider whispers something to his mount. The animal rears and surges forward. Hooves thunder and mud sprays. You feel the tremor through your boots rattling up your spine. You shift your stance, boots grinding into the muck. Your axe feels heavier than it ever has. Like lifting the weight of the world, you wait one breath, another. The silver blade flashes. Thalandi, you see the charge. Over to you.
He's reared his horse, but I reckon now's my time. If I aim there, I should be able to get to him before he gets to Bjorn. I'm going to use my deft maneuvers ability to mark a stress, assuming I'm not unshakable, which I am. And then that allows me to clear the distance without having to make an agility roll.
Okay, nice. All right.
As a minotaur, I'm going to use my charge ability.
Okay.
Which says, mark a stress to deal D12 damage to both to anyone within melee range, so both him and the horse. As I just fuck the leg and fuck the limp, I'm just going to lean into it as hard as I can, and just this massive, I'm almost on all fours, and my horns are buried forward, and I'm just going to smash into the pair of them and try to blast them off the horse.
Awesome.
So I take a stress from that, but they both take 6 points of damage.
It's an automatic hit.
Yep.
Wow, that's cool. Okay. Bjorn, from your perspective, you're setting yourself for this charge, and then this wall of horned muscle comes blasting out from the trees and crashes into both the rider and the horse, and they take 6 points of damage.
Now, it says here if I immediately make an attack after I move, I get +1 to the attack roll.
Okay.
So I'm going to make an attack. And
so you don't even,
the horse.
Unless I spend a fear.
Unless you spend a fear to interrupt me.
You slam into the side of the horse and it just completely disrupts the charge. Horn collects the side of his leg and you crash into this beast.
Phaedra, having been knocked unconscious just a little while before, you raise your head out of the dirt, and your vision still dizzy and swirling, but it comes to just at this point in time as you see, you can see this horse charging towards this person that at the last moment came to rescue you and Thimble. You look up, you see he is bleeding profusely from a cut on the side of his face, and down his side he's still holding his axe. So this all unfolds in through this misty haze as you regain consciousness. And this horse is thundering towards your would-be saviour, which looks like it could have been his last moment. And then suddenly, this horse is knocked off its course by this ball of muscle and horns that comes from the other side of the glade and slams into it.
Okay. That's a lot.
You've got a ringing headache. I'll get you to take 3 stress. And as you wake up, face forward in the dirt, in the mud, looking to the side, and you've just propped yourself up as you've regained consciousness.
Where's Thimble?
You look around, glancing away from this flurry of action to your right, and you can see the 3 dead eyes of your giant friend, brother if you will, staring up at the grey sky. Please describe yourself as you pick yourself up out of the mud.
I am a green inferni. Normally you can see these little dark horns that poke out of my hair with sort of symbols and drawings carved into them, but right now they're probably covered with my wild, tangled mess of sort of peat brown curls, just caked in mud and blood and leaves and twigs and just everything that I've been through in the last days, I guess. I don't know. I've lost track of time. My clothes are tattered. Normally they're a bit of a patchwork, but now they're just shredded with more dried blood and mud. I'm normally quite willowy in figure, but I guess in this circumstance I'm all hunched over. I'm trying to make myself as small as possible so not to get hit or get involved. And yeah, as I pick myself up, I look around for Thimble and see him on the floor and run over, stumble over and see if I can wake him, move him, see if I can wake him up from whatever he's been knocked out with. And Thimble, come on, we need to get up. Come on.
As you crawl over to him and you place your hand on him to shake him, body is cold or cooling. Oh. It's missing that warmth.
And Thimble.
His 3 eyes are staring vacantly and blankly up to the grey skies.
Thimble!
Back to you, Thalandi, as you have just tackled.
So my hands are huge, twice the size of a normal man's hands. I'm going to clasp them around the calf and the shin of this rider, and I'm just going to turn my shoulders and try to haul him off the side of the horse as hard as I can.
Okay.
13, 14, 15 with fear.
You definitely grab hold of him and start to yank him from his saddle. You pull his foot from his stirrup and just and almost dislocate his leg as you pull your full weight behind it. But as you do so, you slip, and I'll get you to take a stress as your footing in this mud gets lost and your foot goes out underneath the horse as the horse is pulling away from you. So you end up in a bit of a tangled mess. The horse is pulling away, you slipped under, and you're now going both with him. So you've definitely got hold of his leg, but he still remains in the saddle. Well,
if it hits, I'm going to do unarmed damage, and I'm going to use an ability to...
It hit.
Okay.
It did hit.
So I'm going to use my Juggernaut ability to spend a hope and then throw him to a spot within close range.
Amazing.
So I'm going to haul him off the saddle and throw him right at Bjorn's feet.
Perfect.
And he's going to take 9 points of damage again.
Okay. So you pinwheel him off the back of this horse.
Bird, take that, you piece of shit.
Puny god. You Hulk slam him off the horse into the mud at Bjorn's feet. Despite the significant amount of force that belts this soldier into the ground and hear the air escape from his lungs as he hits the dirt, it looks like, you know, most of his armor's taken a lot of the impact as he slams into the ground. He lands at your feet, Bjorn. In absolute panic, what he thought was going to be a victory, a notch on his belt, he now looks up at you standing over him with your Dane axe ready to swing. He retained his hand on his longsword, and with one hand he props himself up and just slashes out with his longsword. What's your evasion?
10.
Yep. You see it, he telegraphs the attack, and you quite easily step aside as the swing comes through. Over to you guys.
Yeah, I'll raise my Dane axe in both hands above my head, just a massive overhand blow, and bring it down upon him.
The whistle through the air.
24. That's just with fear, though.
Okay, I will take a fear for the effort. And yes, it is absolutely a hit.
So that is 10 points of damage.
Okay. Feel free to describe to me how you dispatch this soldier.
Just a massive Dane axe coming down from on high, landing right in the guy's chest, shattering his armor completely as the blade buries itself through his ribcage and into his heart.
Bang! It's almost like you can hear the noise reverberate throughout the forest, like birds fly off. As this clang, and there's this eruption of blood just goes out of his mouth, and his eyes bulge and instantly kills him, and yeah, completely destroys the armor that he was wearing. And the horse screams and whinnies and bolts off into the forest, almost trampling over Phaedra as it tears past, flicking up mud off into the forest.
And with the immediate danger guy, I sit down immediately in the mud.
You fall down, sit down into the mud, and it's at that moment a gentle rain sheets across the area, just adding to the mud, the muck, and the blood.
With my hands on my knees, my left arm's a little higher and closer to my hip. I mean, what happened here? What the hell is going on?
I'll just gesture at the dead bodies around the field.
So you have a look around and there's mercenaries that look like discarded like puppets. You see one slumped over with a broken spear, his face buried in the muck. Another one is on his back and there's a rock nearby and half his head's been stoved in by this rock, which is near where this giant lies. You can see that there's this inferni lying over the body of this giant, and you can see that the giant has got multiple arrows sticking out of him, and he's got cuts here and there, and you can see that there's blood that's just washing into the rain and the mud. On these mercenaries, there's red paint on their tabards, just nothing sophisticated or with care, just a splash of red paint that's been put on as a stripe down the front of each of these mercenaries. The one you unhorsed with true ferocity and awesomeness as you belted him into the ground. Given a chance to look now, he looked like a different class. His gear was better looked after. And on closer inspection, you can see that he has a mark of a Dosmorian army on his cloak.
I think they were just deserters or bandits or something. I caught them attacking the civilians.
Can I hear whimpering or...
Yeah, Phaedra. I'm basically thrown myself over what part of Thimble's body I can cover to try and protect him from the horse and anything else. And I'm just, there's, oh, Thimble. No, not you.
Are you okay? Are you hurt?
I killed him.
I'm so sorry. Please, come with me.
Where is he? And I grab a dagger that's down by the on the floor, and I go over to where the body of the soldier is, and I just start plunging the dagger into him. in sort of like this like feral.
I'm gonna, Bjorn's exhausted and hurt, obviously, and she's mentally suffering. I'm just gonna kind of stand up, hit my full 7 feet and kind of just look around. I've seen people under duress and stress like this before. Been one of them myself. Just gonna let her have her moment, let Bjorn get his breath, and I'm just gonna look around and see. Is there anything else? Is there anything coming out of the rain? Can I hear the tinkle of rain on armor or steed or anything else that could hint at more danger coming?
Tuning out the sounds of Bjorn's heavy breathing and Phaedra's cries, the only sounds that you can hear is the gentle rain and the rushing of the stream. You don't seem to be able to detect anything else.
I'll look to Bjorn and see if he's okay. Look for the, wait for the nod.
Yeah, I'll just nod and wave.
And I'll walk over to this Inferni and slowly place one hand on her shoulder, and it's massive, right? And the other hand I'm going to place over the hand that's moving up and down. And as that hand's moving up and down, I place my other hand over it, and I go, it's okay. It's okay. He's gone now.
He was just trying to protect me. He was always protecting us.
How what happened here? How did they come across? How'd they find you? Like, how did this start?
We were, our group, we were attacked, and we all scattered and ran, and I was lost, and they were chasing me, and then Thimble, he found me, and we've just been trying to find our way back home.
Where is home? Do you have somewhere to go?
No. No, we'll. I take a breath, and you see my face relax, and all emotion has gone out of it. And then I look up, and I'm like, we'll find a home again. It's just the way it is sometimes, you know. And I stand back up and go back over to Thimble's body. And I reach into his pouch and pull out a little something from it, a little pebble, and tuck it in my bag. And turn to you. Can we bury him?
Not... Yes, of course. My name is Thalendi.
My name's Phaedra.
This is Bjorn.
Hello.
We need to get him back to our camp. Why don't you come with us and I will attend to your friend.
Okay.
The spirits will send him home. It's okay.
And I go over to Bjorn and I guess lean on each other and go start making our way back to wherever these two came from.
I'll slowly climb to my feet, trying not to put too much weight on them.
Yeah.
I'm going to do two things, right? First is these corpses, I've got to hide them because if anybody comes looking for them, there's trouble. And burying them is not really an option. So I'm going to think back to my trundling around here looking for places, good places to set traps and things. Is there any like pockets or dells or stony bits I could cover them? Like,
yes, give me a knowledge check, please. Up to you, actually. Whatever trait
I've got survival as an experience.
Sure.
So I'll use that.
So which trait?
I'm going to use knowledge.
Okay.
Or instinct, actually.
Instinct, yes. And yeah, that's fine. And spend a hope to use your experience.
21, 22, 23?
Yes. Okay. Marvelous. With hope. With hope. Fear. With hope. Okay. You know, you're having a little bit of a think about some options that you found while doing some scouting. You do remember that because it's quite rocky terrain around here, there's actually a cluster of rocks about halfway back to the farm. You go and have a look. That would probably be the most opportune place in which you could potentially hide bodies, or you might need to move some of the rocks or something like that, but it served that purpose.
Okay, so I'm going to do my best to gather up the bodies and I'll take off my cloak in the rain and so it doesn't get too bloody, and I'm just going to one by one start hauling them back.
Okay.
While these guys are going back to camp.
Okay.
When I get eventually to Thimble's body, I'll break the arrows off and do my best to preserve him, and rather than, you know, throw him over my shoulder like luggage, I'll try to carry him with a bit more reverence. And
being a giant, well, albeit that you are 7 foot and quite strong and muscular, he will be awkward. You'd have to like get your hands under his armpits and kind of drag him backwards is the best that you could probably muster.
Okay.
Okay, so that's going to take you a little while as you go about doing that. Back to you guys. You start limping
just
your way.
Just before we head off, though, I'll police up any of my hand axes.
Yes.
That I need to collect.
You retrieve one from one of the mercenaries' sides and the other that was sticking out of the mud. So you can have your full complement back. There are some other bits and pieces around that you may or may not want to gather as you're retrieving your axes.
At the risk of looking a little bit ghoulish to particularly this girl, I don't know, the soldier, I'm going to see if he has any coinage or particularly any silver pieces or anything that I can pilfer off him.
So he does have a coin purse on his side. His long sword lies there in the mud.
I'll take that as well.
Yeah, so as you're walking past, you can do it without, well, I don't know whether you can or not. You scoop down and pick up the long sword and yank the coin purse off his belt.
I'll join you doing that. Like, I understand. I understand this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Times are tough. Yep. Okay. And then you start making your way downstream. Now we're going to turn to Kaya and Krimlev. The cart lurches yet again, one wheel dropping into a rut with a crack of timber and a curse from Elnor up the front. The old woman's hands are tight on the reins, her shoulders hunched against the chill. This is the third abandoned track taken along in as many days. Each one promised a farm, each one only offered disappointment or ruin. The road beneath you has long since given up pretending to be a road. It's just mud and stone and the occasional stubborn tuft of grass. The fog hangs low in the dips, and every few minutes the cart jolts hard enough to rattle your teeth. The wagon's bed is a rickety, uneven thing, planks patched with rope, the boards groaning beneath each bump. Barley sacks and cracked pottery slide with every jolt. The smell of old grain and wet canvas clings to everything. The mule snorts and trudges on. Elnor mutters to it under her breath, calling it old brine, though you suspect she's cursing it more often than not. Kaya, can you please describe yourself to us?
Sure. So Kaya has long blonde hair that's dyed blue at the tips with a bit of a widow's peak. I have a long purple coat on that is very luxurious, but you can tell it's been very well loved and very well taken care of. It has got some gold thread on the side that she's added and stitched on to along the way and in her journey. I also have a little card pouch that's strapped to my thigh, which holds my tarot deck, which is my most prized possession, and I never go anywhere without it.
And Krimlev, sitting next to Kaya in the back, somewhat cramped next to the sacks of grain. Can you please describe yourself to us?
As I jagger around in this jolting cart, you can see my green robe kind of bounce up and down as it floats back to the floor with every jolt. My hair is messy and short and brown. My beard is misdone. It looks like I've been shaving with my sword without a mirror. Otherwise, I have a bow and arrows slung around my shoulders and a quiver sitting next to me. I've got light possessions. I don't carry much when I travel. And I've got a couple scars along my face from battles long gone, long past.
As you're jostling along in the back of this cart with Elnor muttering to herself, which has become common to you guys now. You used to, sometimes you used to respond and answer to her, but now you just leave her to her mutterings. She seems much more content that way. You see that a crow follows you for a while, its cry cutting through the damp silence before peeling away towards the grey horizon. The land opens slightly ahead, and the fog thinning just enough to show faint shapes. You see a low fence, a collapsed scarecrow nearby, and what might once have been wheat fields now left to rot. Elna leans forward on the bench, squinting through the mist.
"This'll be it,"
she says to herself. And you see that the track winds down a stream that snakes through the hollow, water clear enough to catch the silver of the daylight even through this gloom. A small wooden bridge spans the stream. It's quite narrow and weathered, and its planks, you can, as it comes into view, are slick with moss. And you can see this farmhouse. It's one small structure on this side of the stream and two larger buildings on the far side, connected by that thin wooden bridge. The sound of the stream is soft and constant, and it trickles over the stones. And somewhere nearby, you can hear a door creaking in the wind. So Elna draws the cart to a slow stop, and the mule's stomping in the mud. She turns her attention to you and says,
"Gods be good," she mutters. "Looks quiet enough. This is it. This is the farmstead that I've been telling you about."
Over to you guys.
Well, my ass was getting sore.
I'm not going to rub it for you, I'm sorry. We're not friends there yet.
Well, I wasn't going to ask, so I'm going to rub my own ass.
Well, that's good. And I will remember the tips you told me about the how to find the rabbits. I will remember that. Should we go and try and find some for dinner tonight? Maybe we can help Elna with it?
I mean, we just got here. We may as well, go say hello, see if there's anybody here.
Sure, let's do it.
You're quite away from the stone building on this side. And, yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty hard going to get this mule to pull the cart through this undulating ground towards this small farm stay. So Elna's still sitting on the cart bench, kind of scratching her slightly hairy chin. So you kind of stood up and rubbed your own ass to get some blood flow back in there. Elna recounted you of the tale that her sons were press-ganged into what she believes to be the Dosmorian troop or army of the land. And she was left on her own devices, and you came across her. The cart was almost upturned and you helped repair it. And you've journeyed with her for the past few days, if nothing else, for taking the load from your feet and wearing through your boots. Perhaps you have a bit of responsibility to look after this elderly woman, despite the fact that she says she doesn't need it and is quite capable in and of herself. It was a few days ago she made mention that she knew of some farms in this area, and one in particular, this one, that you've been searching for the past couple of days. And yeah, she's quite a cautious woman in her old age and in her experiences, and she's sitting on the bench just watching the farmstead. Over to you guys.
Elna, would you like us to go take a look?
Shh.
Okay.
Shh. All right. Just do it quietly.
Well, as I hop off the cart, there's a gentle crinkling as my feet hit the grass. It's grass, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
You can hear the sound of me adjusting my clothes and my armor and getting comfy. Skulk off ahead.
Okay. You start making your way quietly towards the farmstead. Kaya.
I climb off the cart as well, way less stealthy than Kremlev, as I am a performer, not a a stealth person.
With a flourish.
So, yeah, so I come off and, flutter my cloak behind me, and I can imagine
dearest.
Elna's giving me the evil eye behind me.
Kaya, dearest, maybe it should be Kremlev. Let's watch Kremlev and see how he goes, shall we? Don't you think?
All right, okay.
She gives you a really condescending pat on your hair.
Maybe you can show me your cards again or something.
Okay, no worries. I can do that. I like to practice.
You start placating her, if you will. You know what she's doing. And yes, Kremlev, you start making your way quietly towards the farmstead. Eventually you make to the one of the outer walls of the building that's closest. It's a stone wall. It's still intact, despite the roof's in disrepair. And
How tall's the wall? Tall enough standard, to peek over?
No, so it's like a single story.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I'll look around the wall.
You peer around the side and you get a better look at the small bridge that's covered in moss and in disrepair as well, though you could probably still traverse it. There's a well over the other side. You can see that there's stones where a fire pit or a fire would have been. You can see that there might be some slight embers or smoke coming off it as if it's just been recently put out. And then as you were looking, you see movement in one of the furthest buildings, one of the two on the other side, directly opposite your position. It's just like nothing threatening, but you just see like movement of a presence in one of the buildings on the far side.
Well, I'm going to sneak around, do some sneaky stuff.
Okay.
I think I'm going to sneak over to that ember pit from earlier, hold my hand over it, gauge.
So in order to get there, you'd have to cross the bridge, which would take you out into the open.
Right.
And then, yeah, there's the fire pit. There's some utensils and bits and pieces lying around. And then, yeah, it's near a well that's near that stream. Kyra, is there anything you would like to do at this point?
I am just trying to entertain Elna as best I can at the moment.
Okay.
While sort of grumbling to myself, being like, he was teaching me stuff on the road.
Yeah, she seems to have... She's kind of watching Kremlev with a very keen eye and paying less attention to yourself. So you could probably just toddle off if you wanted to.
If I see her looking more towards Kremlev at one point, I would duck down a little so that I'm out of direct line of sight and then make my way around the cart and then start to try and walk along the wall, like, sneaking.
Mission Impossible your way around the other side of the cart. And,
Sneak your way around.
And, yeah, you start making your way to a tree and then to another shrub and practicing how to step and watching out for branches and twigs.
Practicing how to be stealthy.
Kremlev, you'd have to plot a route, but it'd take you very much out into the open if you were to step out. And it's at that moment, Yawn, Phaedra, on the other side of the camp, on the side where the well and the buildings, you emerge from out of the forest, out of a small trail that leads into the centre of the camp. Kremlev, both yourself and Kaya, you see that these two figures enter into the camp. You can see both of them look like they've just been through hell and back, covered in mud, they're covered in blood, limping, sporting wounds that you probably can't pinpoint. One visibly upset, so much so that it takes you a moment, Kaya, to realise who it is, hunkered together, leaning upon each other for support, and limp into the centre of the camp. As you guys enter into the camp, do you see them?
I probably see the figures. I'll put my hand on Phaedra's shoulder and say, they're strangers to us, lass. Be careful.
Over there? Wait. No, no. Look, I was with... you found me on my own.
Yes?
Just my own.
And the giant?
No. No, just my own. There was no one else with me. It's better this way. See, I know them, and... it'd just be better if she thinks that he's okay.
You see the gears grinding in my head, very intensely trying to figure out what you're trying to say here.
Kaya and Kremlev. Kremlev, you probably noticed that they've definitely clocked Kaya behind you, who you didn't know was following, and you turn and you can see her. Yeah, not very well obscured. And yeah, you can see that they've seen her and are having a little conversation. And Kaya, it now dawns on you that this very much looks like Phaedra, and much worse for wear, but it very much looks like her.
I run at her. I run towards Phaedra, just yelling and drawing way too much attention to myself. But she's the first person from our troop that I've seen. And I'm just beyond happy and excited that I have been able to find her.
You run at full tilt over the bridge. You see Kaya come streaking past you. And you, as you see her go past you, you see Elna just going on the on the cart. And as you run over the bridge, can you please give me a agility check, please?
I've got my negative one agility. Oh, that was so close to a critical. 17? 16.
Okay, you sprint with over fear. The bridge with fear? Mm-hmm. With fear.
Yes. Oh, no. Stack it.
You sprint over the bridge, and as you do, you realize that this thing is slick. And
yeah.
You kind of do the, and you have to catch yourself before going over into the stream or face first on the other side. And as you catch yourself, you strain your leg a little bit and take a stress as you skid over the bridge, and you see this woman with a blonde hair and blue with blue tips with a purple worn coat streaking behind her just come
see a strange figure sprinting towards me. I'm going to unlimber one of my hand axes and raise it.
No, she's a friend. Can you go tell your other friend to just hold off on his body and let me sort this? Thank you.
Yeah. So what? Oh, I don't know.
See, you know how your asshole's hanging out. You go and find your
mate. Kremlev, what are you doing at this point?
I'm just going to watch. As soon as I realise that Kai has been clocked, I'm going to kind of duck down and find some tall grass to lurk in. Okay. And I'm just going to sit and just observe. Yeah.
I grab her by the face and I'm like turning her and like patting her down. Are you hurt? Is this your blood? This is Kremlev, and I sort of gesture behind me, not even realizing he's ducked down at all.
I'm just sort of like touching your face, and just relief is washed over me of like somebody's alive, somebody's made it, and just like these two emotions of this grief from Thimble and this elation from finding Kaya just like crashing into her at this moment. And she just keeps, yeah, sort of like touching your face and your hair. And
would you look at your hair? Oh my God.
I know. I'm a mess.
Quite an egg on one side of her head as well that she's sporting. At this point, Bjorn, as you are reconciling the request and what information to divulge or not, you're watching this reunion. Something catches your eye on the far side of the stream. You look and you can see there's some careful movement of some silhouettes moving on the other side of the building. And that's where we're going to call a session, guys. Episode one is done.
Oh, I so don't want you to know he's dead. I want to protect your innocence.
All right, guys.